it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm Gene Bolduc, your host, and my guest today is the betrothed Aaron Keck.
That is the first time that has ever been used as my intro adjective.
That's probably never come up before.
Yeah.
That's shocking to me, actually.
That's good, though.
It's a good status.
I'm a Renaissance man.
It's a good status, but you're about to forfeit that status.
Yeah,
we are recording on the day before your wedding.
Yes.
And when this airs, you'll be married for a week.
Fingers crossed.
They said it wouldn't last. You know, when I got married, that's what everybody said day to day. They said it wouldn't last. Like, you know, we could drop that now, you know?
The officiant at the wedding was like, we are gathered here today and we'll be gathered here again 6 months from now, no doubt.
Oh, good Lord. Why? Why? To hit the undo button or redo button or whatever. I don't know what that's going to be. Anyway, yeah. So today I would like to talk to you, lecture you perhaps.
Oh, good.
Yeah, about love and marriage.
Oh, that's good, because I had no idea what I was going to say. So if you're just going to talk to me for 40 minutes, I'm 100% fine with that.
Right, you can enjoy your beverage.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to lecture you, of course. What the heck do I know?
What do any of us know?
Because I've never been married to Brad. This would be my point.
Yeah. Well, as of this moment when we're recording, neither have I. I'll be looking back on this, listening back to it when it airs.
Yeah, saying good times.
I was so naive.
I had no idea.
It is true, though, that when it comes to love, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to all of these things that when you're a kid growing up and you see adults acting as adults from day to day,
you just assume
that they know what they're doing, and
sure.
You assume that at some point you'll get to a point where you know what you're doing.
Right.
And I think the moment when you become an adult is the moment when you realize that day's never going to happen.
It's not really common.
There are no such things as adults. There are just grown kids desperately trying to act like adults and hope that no one notices
the fake
that they have no idea what they're doing.
Yes.
I think that's all of us.
I could not agree with you more. I think that one thing that I remember from being a kid, and my grandfather actually confirmed this for me when he was more than 90, is I thought that when I became an adult, when I became a grown kid,
right,
that I would feel differently, that I would, you know, I would feel like I've got this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in charge now, and, you know, you'll sit down and be quiet, and here's your broccoli. I thought that would happen. And now I do feel that way a little bit toward my kids.
Mm.
I at least put up a good front that I've got this figured out. But you'd be surprised, I'm sure. I'm actually pretty humble with my kids. You know, I did things with my kids that my friends didn't do with their kids. Things like apologize if I'm wrong.
Ooh,
things like acknowledging that it's possible that I could be wrong about something.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like changing my behavior because they said something I did was a problem
for
them.
That's a dangerous strategy.
Well, it is, because, you know, one thing leads to another.
It's probably the correct one.
The next thing you know, they're grown up bigger than you, and
mm-hmm.
you're acting like they're adults. But, yeah, I thought that my grandfather told me that when he was over 90 that he just could not believe when he was shaving in the morning, this old man was looking back at him.
Yeah.
And that my grandfather was just the greatest kid on the block and was a school teacher. It was surprise you not at all to know. And, you know, he had a playful, childlike quality about him as appropriate,
mm-hmm.
Was, you know, the gold standard for grandfathers. But he really just always thought that he would have that. And he articulated that quite clearly, that I just thought I would feel like an old guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like that. My body tells me, so I know it's true. And I certainly feel that way. But nah, I laugh at bathroom jokes just like I did when I was 12.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, come on.
Bathroom
they're funny.
Jokes are funny.
They're
yeah.
funny. You know, they're not poopy. They're funny.
The The jokes that you tell as kids are the funniest ones. The insults are always the best ones too. Whenever we're around the newsroom and at WCHL and we're making fun of each other, you know, someone will say, "So a tree fell down on Franklin Street," and one of us will look up and go, "You fell down on Franklin Street." It is the fourth greatest level joke, but it's funny. Yeah,
and nobody heard it.
Right? I don't care who you are. That's funny right there.
If a tree falls down on Franklin Street,
and it's the intercession when the students are gone
and
summer hasn't begun.
And nobody's there to hear it. Is it still a tragedy beyond all sense of proportion?
Oh, God, yes.
Of course it is.
When a tree falls down on Franklin Street, you know how many emails the town gets about that?
And
dozens.
They print them all out.
Well, no, they – oh, yeah, of course they do. Yeah, hilarious. I think they may be required to. I'm not 100% sure about that, if it's all electronic now or if they actually do have to print out all of those emails. I think once upon a time they probably did, but it's got to be all electronic
now.
Yeah,
well, you know, come on. You have to archive them, but you don't have to print them to do that, for heaven's sake. You know, note to the somebody at the town of Chapel Hill just got a big palm print in the middle of their forehead. Sorry, Chapel Hill. I don't mean to pick on you. It's just, you know, it's easy. It's easy. You know, it's town government and all that. So let's talk about the government.
Okay.
You know, when
are we still on love and marriage? Because I feel like that's a bad combination.
We really are. Many years ago, I wrote a column about marriage equality.
Yes.
And said, you know, listen, there's a lot of reasons why marriage equality should be the law. This is, I'm sure, easily 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, among them is the much perpetuated misunderstanding that, in fact, I'm thinking back that this might have been part of, in 2004, might have been part of a response to something Howard Dean said during the presidential primaries. He said, you know, he was staying out of that issue, that this was something for churches to figure out. And I mean, this made my head explode.
Yes.
I was not married in a church. I was married in the home of a justice of the peace who lived down the street from us. And so, you know, by that definition, after all these years, I wasn't really married because I wasn't married in church.
Yeah.
And the suggestion is that that marriage is an institution that lives only inside of churches,
right,
which is nonsense.
I think one of the reasons
the church doesn't give you a license, the state does.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons the marriage equality debate went on as long as it did is that we use the word marriage to refer – the same word to refer to two very different things. You've got the religious institution, the traditional sacrament, and then you've got the legal contract or the official state recognized this is a, you know, we're going to file a joint tax return from now on, that kind of thing.
Right.
We use the same word to refer to both of those. We conflate the two of them in our heads. We think that one of them equals the other.
Yes.
And we're still having that fight even today. There are people who are out there right now who are still opposed to marriage equality because they think that their church is now going to be legally required to do this or that, which is not the case and never was.
Right.
Because we've got two very different concepts that we're using the same word to refer to.
Now, they use that argument, but of course, that's the argument that they're using as a cloak
as is the case most of the time. The arguments that most of us use the vast majority of the time are just BS cloaks for what we're actually thinking.
I don't know anything about that, and therefore I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that pretty much wraps that up and puts a bow on it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can ignore the fact that you want to stand there and scream bloody murder about the legal implications of doing this while standing in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, which just ruled in favor of the other side.
Right.
I personally, these arguments are so false and so dizzying. I don't understand how people keep their balance to walk around.
Hey, I will say that people who are opposed to same-sex marriage, who don't want to make a cake for the wedding, or magistrates who don't want to sign off on those marriage. You know what? I would be a lot more sympathetic to those people. I really would. If at any point in the past they had ever objected to any
anything.
other wedding ever.
Right.
Atheist couples will walk in. You've got Jews marrying Muslims and Christians marrying outside the faith.
25
years. You've got divorcees coming together and getting married. You've got people getting married for the green card. You've got two people who engaged in adulterous relationships with each other, and now they're getting married.
And one of them's the magistrate.
The Register of Deeds office in any county is a hotbed of immoral activity single day. And if any of
Mark Chilton is online, too.
Yeah. No, he would agree with this 100%.
I know he would.
I think. Any of these people had ever objected to any of these immoral weddings ever, I would be a lot more sympathetic. But no, to pretend that they just suddenly found religion when same-sex couples, that's crap. That is crap.
So to speak. Well, on the that is crap declaration, we're going to take our first break. We're talking with Aaron Keck about love and marriage and what is or is not crap. And we're going to be back here on the Weekend Water Cooler in just a moment. Please don't go away. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. And we're back on the Weekend Water Cooler talking with Aaron Keck, who is, you know, soon going to be the Mr. of Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and Mrs. I'll be all right. See? You see that?
Yeah.
That's reflex.
Just immediately leap to that assumption.
That is a lifetime
of programming.
I'm going
to be the Mr. of Mr.
and
Mr.
Right. Now, okay, I haven't asked you this before, so this will be a surprise to me. Anybody changing names? Are you doing anything with merging your names?
No. There are a couple of reasons for that. Brad's last name is Bednar. He's not going to change his last name to Keck because Brad Bednar just sounds better than Brad Keck.
I don't know. Brad Keck sounds okay.
It sounds okay, but Brad Bednar flows a lot better. He was actually previously married to a guy whose name was also Aaron. So if I changed my name to Aaron Bednar, that would just be super weird.
That would be super weird.
So that ain't happening.
And
Also, changing your name is an arduous process. I mean, just changing it on Facebook is difficult. Forget going through all of the legal maneuverings of changing your driver's license and changing your voter registry and like everything that's got to to be changed just in order to do something that you don't have to do. We asked ourselves that question for 5 seconds, and the only thing that we couldn't figure out after that was why do people still do that even now? Like, why does anyone do that? Like, everyone should just keep their last name forever.
You know, I changed mine. I'm sure you realize that.
Yeah.
And this was a few minutes ago. I think it's shocking how much it depends on whether or not you feel like you like the sound of what your name would be if you changed it.
Yeah.
Because
I can see.
Plenty of women got married in 1978 and didn't change their names.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I changed my name. I mean, I kept my maiden name as my middle name now.
Yeah,
so,
you know that.
But, you know, I think it was less of a thing in terms of how complicated it was. I had to do some stuff. I had to fill out something at work.
Okay.
I had to change my driver's license. I was 19 years old, and these things were fun to me.
Okay.
This was like
part
of becoming a grown-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had all kinds of stuff going on where I felt like, you know, I wanted to be, you know, in that grown-up world of, you know, I'm somebody's wife now, so look at this. I've changed my name to Mrs. Somebody.
How long did it take you to start thinking of yourself in terms of the new last name? Because that's
still like somebody say Mrs. Bolduc, and I wouldn't look around for my mother-in-law.
Right. But if someone says, oh, what's your name, and you immediately, like, get a name in your head, how long did it take you to go from I don't know what your maiden name was.
Plumley.
How long did it take you to go from Gene Plumley to Gene Bolduc?
Oh, man. Well, it might have been, you know, like 6 months or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a while. Because
we got married in January of 78. We mm-hmm. moved to North Carolina in October of 78. And everybody here only knew me as Gene Bolduc. So that really cemented it pretty good for me. They also knew me as Gene Bolduc with terrible knees and and who was probably too young to get married. They never told me that, but, you know.
Yeah.
My husband worked at Blue Cross, and we he got a job at Blue Cross, and they relocated us. Man, those were good times.
That's a really convenient marriage to have if you have terrible knees.
Yeah. It really was. We moved here in October, and I had knee surgery in November.
Nice.
December. God, I don't remember. I think December. Of 78. I had a great big reconstructive knee procedure that was colossal, and I had the same procedure on the other knee 2 years before.
Oh, wow.
And you'll enjoy this. You'll really enjoy this.
I'm enjoying it now.
You're enjoying it now?
Yeah.
Well, that's the sick
this
thing
about
you.
It's about to get better.
I had the procedure at Durham Regional Hospital. Mm-hmm. What was at that time Durham County General Hospital. Now, what is it? Durham Duke Hospital or whatever.
Well, no, Duke Hospital and Durham Hospital
Duke
are two
Regional,
different.
Duke Regional Hospital.
Is it the one in North Durham or the one?
Yes.
Because I think that's still Durham.
Yeah, but it's not Durham County General. It's Durham Duke Regional Duke Bought Me Hospital.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And anyway, it's still a wonderful hospital.
Yeah.
When I had this knee procedure, my husband came to visit me, and I was actually, because I was 19, I was in pediatrics.
Oh, nice.
They were wonderful.
Wait,
to
how
me.
Old do you, how old did
I
they
guess,
take pediatrics? Cause...
I guess I was because I was under 21, but more
I
likely
guess.
It's because that's where the bed was. It was just a post-surgical,
maybe, yeah. That's still kind of
post-surgical
funny.
Post-surgical thing. You never know where you're going to end up.
I'm here to visit my wife. They're like, North Carolina.
Yeah, oh, God. All right. Yes, Mr. Lee Lewis. She used to follow me. Right. We'll just walk past the nursery and, oh, there she is now.
Yeah.
No, it was comical. It was also, you know, boy, good times. I had this knee surgery like on a Monday and was discharged on a Friday. Yeah, I was in the hospital for, you know, the entire business week. My son had the same procedure, and he had it in the morning and was out in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Times have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
although if you're Melania, you still have an incentive to stay in the hospital for an entire week, even
if you
can't get discharged.
Yeah, I think Melania, you know, might develop a complication probably sometime today that might keep her there for another week. After whatever it is that they did with her kidneys, we don't really know exactly. And apparently her husband's not breaking his neck to ask. Has he been to the hospital yet?
Yes, he's been several days.
Really?
Yeah, he actually has been going.
Oh, that's right. I saw a thing of him putting his arms around soldiers at Walter Reed.
Yeah, no. To Trump's credit, he has been going to the hospital.
Goes to Walter Reed without getting a pic of him with a wounded soldier.
Well, no, of course
something
not.
No other president would do.
Yeah.
You know, hey, look at me. I'm acting like a human being for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened there?
I have no idea.
How did he act like a human being for 5 minutes?
I don't
minutes?
Know. I don't.
Sedation?
I don't follow tabloids. So whenever there is an
therefore you
whenever there
really
is an
been.
Article about Donald Trump, I skip right past it.
You
and you
right
can read
it.
Whatever you want into that. He acts like a tabloid celebrity, and the media covers him as if he's a tabloid celebrity.
And I always
celebrity.
Talk to you about this. So.
And the fault is on both sides.
So you
there,
know you're
so.
Going to find out about it despite not wanting to.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, there's that too, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's so.
Ubiquitous,
you know, in the ether.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like ether, right?
Oh,
didn't they used to use ether to knock you out for surgery?
Probably. I don't know. I was asleep.
While you were sleeping. Great movie.
It was a good movie.
It really was a good movie. Completely ridiculously unrealistic, but, you know, who's not going to fall in love with Bill Pulliam? Come on.
Pulliam?
Isn't that his name?
Pullman.
Pullman? Like a Pullman porter?
Yes. Bill Pullman.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll learn something new every day.
You know, I'm so glad to have been informed of this. Well, I guess you could not fall in love with him with an ordinary name like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah. So
that was a whole bunch of random segues coming around.
It was. Well, yeah. You know, when we come back, we're going to talk about Donald and Melania for just a minute, just by reference, about the institution of marriage.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's interesting how some of these dedicated people are so concerned about protecting that institution, and we should talk a little bit about the history of that institution.
Let's do.
So tender as it is, and we'll talk about that more with Dr. Aaron Keck when we return after just a minute. We're getting down to it now on the Weekend Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. And we're back here on the water cooler. We're chatting it up with Dr. Aaron Keck, who is, as we record today, is about to get married.
Yes.
He will be married for one long week by the time we air.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it wouldn't last.
I don't think anyone said it wouldn't last. We're a pretty good couple.
I will tell you that in my relationship with my beloved husband, everybody said it wouldn't last, except for one person who was a friend of his. And she said, yeah, you guys, what are you waiting for? But everybody else thought it wouldn't. And you know—
Why did they think that?
Well, they did. They thought that for a lot of reasons, I guess. But I think the main big glaring reason is that he was 29 and I was 19 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, as the parent of two people who have come and gone through being 19 years old, I'm kind of with them on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And would have advised and would advise anybody who's 19 years old then or now, wait. Mm-hmm. You know, you think this person is it forever and ever. So fine, they'll be it forever and ever in a couple of years, and you know, waiting won't hurt anything.
Yep.
You know, unless there's a person with a dreaded disease who may not be here in a couple of years and there's some compelling time frame like that.
Right.
It's probably a better idea to wait. There's also now, far less so than then, not very much stigma about moving in together and sharing your life entirely. My son and daughter-in-law, before they were married, moved in together, and they bought a house together, and then they decided to get married. They got married on the 10th anniversary of their time together as a couple.
Yeah.
So they knew each other quite well by the time they finally took the plunge, as we say. Now, how long have you and Brad known each other?
So we have known each other for 7 years. We have been dating for four. We started going out in... get the math right, September of 2014.
Right.
We moved in together in January of 2017.
Okay.
Right. We got engaged in May of that year. So we had lived together for several months before getting engaged.
So like grown-ups, you knew
like grown-ups, we take every step at a time. And we had been talking about getting engaged for quite a while before. So the actual engagement was kind of a formality.
Right, right.
But that happened in May. And actually, it's funny. Total coincidence. The day we're getting married this year is May 19th. So it will have happened by the time this airs. May 19th is also the day in 2017 that we got engaged. It was an engagement of exactly 1 year. And that's sheer coincidence.
This is, you didn't think about that.
We did not think about it at all. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, and you didn't find out, hey, you know, Prince Harry's getting married that day. We're going to do that.
Oh, the hell with him.
Headline grabber.
Trying to steal my day.
Well, that'll be at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Talk about a marriage that's not going to last.
Oh,
am I right?
Come on.
I'm sure they'll be fine.
Oh, good luck, Harry.
But yeah, it's and I waited. I am 38 years old. I'm old enough now that I have to think about how old I am.
Like, you have to do
the math in my head.
Right?
Yeah, I'm 38, so I waited. Brad's a couple years younger than me, but he also...
You old fart.
Yeah. yeah, right. But what was I going to say? Yeah, we went through all
I don't
all
know.
Of
you
those.
Know, when you get older, you forget.
Yeah, we went through. You know, we went through. I have followed your advice before you gave it to me. I had already followed it. Waited until you're of a decent age. You take it slow. You move in right. with the person. You don't marry the person and then start living with them. You start right. living with them first and make sure that they don't. You know.
Right. Well, if we hadn't lived together first, we would never have survived being married. What we did is we decided to get married, and then I moved in with him.
Okay, that's fair.
And we did that in part because he said, you know, listen, we should live together for a while, and we want to see if you change your mind.
Right.
You know, you may want out. You know, you're young and all that, because he wasn't young.
Although you already had bad knees when you were 19, so you had a claim to being old even then.
I did. I had decrepit knees. I learned that I had bad knees when I was 16. But
I think having bad knees technically enables you, if you want, to add 10 years onto your age.
Believe me, I would have no trouble selling that.
Yeah.
And neither with my son, who has the same issues with his knees.
Yeah.
I think I respected the institution, even though my parents had just gotten out of it,
mm-hmm.
and rather bitterly so. And I didn't have that reluctance, though. I didn't feel like I wanted to be married, but I wanted to be married to Rick once I met Rick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a distinction that's difficult to explain. I found even now, as I think back on it, I thought of entering the institution of marriage as a protective thing. And from that perspective of being, 19 and moving into his apartment with him and all, it's pretty easy to understand why that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And because my parents had just split, and then in order for me to do that, I left college and moved in with him and then got a job at the Hartford Insurance Company. I basically suspended what I was doing in my life in order to, move in with him and marry him. And he had concerns about that. And that's what we talked about getting, it wasn't the episode of The Bachelor, with the big surprise. You know, Amy Schumer says some pretty funny things about this. Like, she just got married and she said, "What is this thing with the proposal? Like, the woman acts like she had no idea. I didn't even think you liked me. Why are you marrying this guy?"
Yeah.
And it wasn't like that for us. We just talked about this over a weekend.
Yep.
A lot. We had talked about it before, but we talked about, well, so are we going to do this or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I left and went back to Boston to school, and we left it up in the air. And I was really nervous about it, that maybe I had blown everything up by really pressing on this, that, I think we should get married. I think we should. I think that this is too difficult. I'm in Boston, you're in Hartford, and all that stuff. And I, ironically, perhaps, I'm the one who really kind of knew my own mind about this. At least it seems
right.
so. And our friend, Lori, is the only person who said, yeah, she's right. I mean, if you're ready, Rick.
Yeah.
And really, in a lot of ways, it turned out to be that
Good
way.
Good for her. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I never forgot that. And I give her credit for it, that it's hard to go kind of swim against the flow like that when everybody's saying no, no, no.
Yeah.
That's the reason we eloped, is that I just said, I'm not going to be, having this event that's going to cost all this money.
Right.
Only to have almost everybody I know they're going, we'll see.
I hope
you got a receipt for that gift. including my mother. It's true. I just wasn't going to sit there while she was ragging on the fact that we had been living. It's about time he paid for this cow. He's been getting free milk, all these cliches. And, I'm in a lot of ways glad we did it that way. But the institution, as it came under fire for marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about, this is not what marriage is about. Well, marriage has done nothing but change
Yes.
You know, since its creation.
And thank God, by the way.
Really? I mean, I...
And I mean that in every conceivable sense.
Yeah, exactly. When, not so long ago, I mean, women were chattel in marriage and... You know, it was basically a business deal between the fathers and maybe, you know, the groom.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
And when I came to North Carolina, my legal rights were affected by my husband's decision making. And, you know, the old rule of thumb expression comes from a law that allowed men to beat their wives with a stick no greater than the width of his thumb.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in marriage that was really bad, bad for women, bad for women who were not equal partners in the institution. That's changing,
actively changing, yes.
And
We were talking about changing the name, right? I mean, even that little thing,
right.
Which is not a little thing, but
right.
that one element, the assumption that everyone had up until very recently, that if you were a woman and you got married, oh, of course you're going to change your you're going to change your entire identity to be absorbed by your husband,
right? As best expressed in the traditional ceremony from long ago of being pronounced man and wife.
Right,
He becomes a man and you become a role.
Wife, yeah, yeah.
Well, no. I mean, ours, even back in the old days, you know, when I got married, we changed it and said husband and wife,
which is much better.
Because he was already a man, I was already a woman, at least physically.
Yep.
And so that's what we did. I think that's what most people probably do now.
Yeah.
I pronounce that you're spouses. I pronounce that you're married. I pronounce that something's different than how you were an hour ago.
Yep.
Which is such hocus pocus anyway that now anybody can do it.
Yeah. But it does still make a big difference. I mean, there's one of the lines about the lines that people used in opposition to marriage equality, right was that gay people don't care about monogamy. They're just going and sleeping around with everyone.
Right.
And there is an extent to which, gay people did tend to have more partners than straight people did.
Right.
There were numbers on that. That changed with marriage equality because it turns out it's your place in society and the level of acceptance and are you able to participate in the institutions actually does affect the way you behave. So now if you're gay growing up, you actually have the option of getting married, seeking a kind of long-term monogamous relationship, whereas not that long ago, if you sought that, the institution would kick you out into the street and then point at you and say, look at that guy lying in the street. How disgusting. It's you did that.
What's wrong
with
that guy anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is wrong with that guy?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna come back and we're going to wrap up talking a little bit more about the institution, but mostly, of course, wishing Aaron all the blessings and luck in the world. He's going to need it. I've met Brad. I'm telling you, he's totally going to need it. We're talking.
Oh, he's fine.
We're talking here on the Weekend Water Cooler, talking to Aaron Keck about love and marriage, which I think have something to do with each other, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, they say it might last. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. All right. So you're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back in our closing moments here talking with Aaron Keck about the joys of marriage. And you know, there are challenges, but you all have been together long enough that you've probably run up against some of those challenges already.
He's a good guy. It's pretty easy so far.
It's pretty easy. Yeah. Well, you know,
none can predict
we'll
the future.
See how this goes in a week. Call me back. You know, marriage. My parents had a pretty difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad all the time. It would never be that it was bad all the time. Five kids, four surviving, and they broke up and. My father remarried, and I think that he would agree that he was a little douchey to her for a few years. But you know, basically through mainly, to be honest, mainly through his ability to forgive himself for treating her badly.
Mm-hmm.
In the later years, and especially at the end of her life, he was pretty good to her.
That's good.
And took good care of her financially, which she needed. And so that particular reconciliation, I think, you know, has something to do, Aaron, with institutions. You know, institutions like marriage and government.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the church, the military. These things only operate well when the people who are in them act in good faith.
Yes.
And to an extent, it's a little bit of Peter Pan. You know, it works if you clap your hands and believe.
Okay? Yeah. I thought we were going back to the thing that no adults ever grow up.
Same thing.
Same
right.
thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God! What a great
back to Peter Pan.
Loop around back to Peter Pan.
If you clap your hands and believe.
Yeah. Does it help if I tell you my father's name is Peter? Wow, that's spooky, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah.
A little spooky, right
yeah.
there. Okay. I think it's very helpful for people to have really good examples.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had their things about them that were good examples. They loved their kids. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Not for me, anyway. So your parents were... Yeah, I mean, I know your parents a little bit.
Yeah.
Your parents are a good example of how to be married and how to be...
Yep.
How to be a couple, and your parents are celebrating their 40th this year,
anniversary in July. Yep.
Yep. And for their anniversary gift, you're giving them a wedding, which is very thoughtful. A lot of people wouldn't have come up with that.
I really thought long and hard about that. Like, should I get a card?
I don't think Hallmark can stand up to giving your mother a wedding. I'm just going to say this.
I mean, I was conceiving of the wedding as the joint Mother's and Father's Day present, but I could loop their anniversary.
Well,
in on
you know,
this. Yeah, no, I'm good with that.
I'll tell you this: when Rick and I went to Connecticut for, I think a baby shower,
mm-hmm.
For our first child, my mother made a cake. We were there in the fall. So September, there's about 75 family birthdays in September.
Right.
And I was there pregnant and showing. There's a picture of me with my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
My older brother had a little bit of a belly, so the picture has my sister with hands on both bellies.
Right.
And there was – so there and it was somebody else's, I don't know, anniversary or something. And my sister's mother-in-law said, your mom really got a big bang for her buck with that cake. The cake she got for the event just said, congratulations. It's like she covered everything for the year with one little sheet cake.
Yep.
That is efficiency.
That's being
frugal right
yes,
there.
You've
got to have respect for that. So speaking of cake, you're going to have a giant cake, right?
We're going to have two giant cakes. Our friend Sylvia, who is our inspiration for not changing last names, because we saw her go through the process of changing her last name
and said, I'm not doing that.
And she didn't enjoy, she's happy that she did it, but it was an arduous process. And it was also an arduous process for all of us to start thinking of her in terms of her last name. It took me more than a year just to change her name in my phone.
It's like how you write
last
year's
date. Let alone everything else.
Yes, January,
exactly.
February,
but for like a much, much longer period. She is an amazing baker, so she's making us two cakes. The good folks at Chapel Hill Restaurant Group, who everyone should patronize because
all the time.
Not only are they an advertiser on WCHL, they're also catering our wedding, and they're doing a fantastic job doing it. I say the day before the wedding. I'll go back and edit this if it ends up being a total disaster, but it won't be.
It won't be.
They're making this awesome strawberry shortcake, so if you don't like cake,
jeez. Oh, I can't
there
wait.
There is another option for you.
And you're not going to say what it is. It's a surprise
It's strawberry
option.
Shortcake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's the other option.
It's cake-ish,
it's not really cheap cake, right?
It's not wedding cake. Yeah,
it's not really cake, you know.
Anyway, it's going to be good.
Yeah. It's going
to
be great.
But to your point, yes, my parents are a fantastic example of what a marriage should be. And there are quite a few other great examples in my life of what a marriage should be. Couples who have gone through, and I think this is part of it as well, gone through difficult times and worked together to pull out of them.
That's right.
There are couples in my family and in my life who separated for a while and then worked it out and got back together. There are people who went through hard economic times, hard family times. Like you go through hard times and you work together and you pull out again.
Yes.
Or you don't, and then
you're done, which is too bad.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
And also understandable. Yeah. But
Yeah. It's hard. I think that what a lot of people underestimate is that you actually have to deliberately work together you have to do this to maintain your relationship and keep it on a good track, which, you know, there's ebb and flow about how much you feel like doing that. Well, Aaron Keck, it's going to be great. I think that you and Brad are going to be very happy together. I toast you with my water and your coffee or whatever that is.
That is coffee.
It's sure it is.
It's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Your Bloody Mary in
We're
a coffee cup.
We're recording this at 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's a mimosa, and everybody knows it. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining
Thank
us,
you.
And we wish you all the best, and everybody have a wonderful weekend, and toast Aaron and Brad all weekend long.
Yeah.
At brunch.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Regardless of what weekend it is.
No matter what weekend it is. You can do this anywhere, everywhere in Orange County. With alcohol.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. We'll look forward to seeing you, everybody out there. Have a great weekend.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.